Sure, it's wonderful to be here and to be able to be all together with everybody, and what a joy it is. You know, a couple days ago, I was talking on the phone with somebody and talking about what a joy it is to help people with God's Word. But sometimes as we reach out to people with God's Word, and some of us have been doing this for many years, a lot of our lives, sometimes people get super blessed and want to believe, and there's other times we try so hard and people, you know, aren't interested, or at the time they don't want to believe. You know, since the fall of man, God our Father has been doing the same to mankind. The fall of man was catastrophic and has affected all of humanity for thousands of years. During this time, God has repeatedly shown mankind his loving and perfect solution to man's plight. He has woven this thread throughout the books of the Bible. Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, the Savior, the subject of the written word, from Genesis 3:15 to Revelation 22:21. So today in this teaching, we're going to look at the topic, Jesus Christ, the subject of the written word. Throughout the centuries, God has reached out to man to try to give man a knowledge of his word, a knowledge of his son, Jesus Christ. So that's what we're going to look at in this opening teaching. We're going to see how this ties into the integrity of the word. We're going to see how throughout the Bible, God referred to Jesus Christ in various times and in different ways. We're also going to take a look chronologically throughout God's word and to be able to see how this happens. So in Galatians chapter 1, and we're going to see something very cool. The book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and in verse 11. It says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." Somebody many, many years ago just didn't decide to write the scriptures by their own will. "For neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation." The word "of" could be translated concerning Jesus Christ. The Bible is revelation from God concerning Jesus Christ. And that's really cool. It's revelation from God of or concerning Jesus Christ. He's the subject of the written word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word concerning Christ dwell in you richly. Now, God is true. If he is true, then his words must be what?
True.
True. It all comes from God and it all fits together. There's many different writers, but there's one author, and that is God. It all has to fit. It all has to harmonize on the same subject. Jesus Christ and the whole word, it all fits together. You know, everybody had the same take on Jesus Christ. How many of you are Met fans in here? Okay, just shout it out. Are you a Met fan? Let me hear it. You guys aren't. How many Yankee fans in here? Shout it out. How many of you don't care? Shout that out. Okay, now. So obviously the church is divided on baseball. We just did a scientific experiment. Now, in the Bible, all these different guys in different centuries wrote about Jesus Christ. There was no division. They said the same thing. In fact, sometimes they said the same thing or they added to it and it all fit together. It all harmonized. You see? There it is. That's very cool. In the Old Testament, they looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. In the Gospels, they looked at the Messiah. And now us, we look back at his accomplishments and we look forward to his second coming. In the book of Revelation, you know, that's his appearing or revelation. So all through God's word, it all has to fit together. It all has to fit. You know, many, many years ago, when I was a young lad, I had a motorcycle. I was driving my motorcycle at a place that I shouldn't have been driving it, Matt. And my license plate fell off at the scene of a crime. And so, now wait a minute, let's not think evil here. So, let's not jump to conclusions. So they found out who belonged to this license plate and they called my uncle, and he and I had to go down to the police station. And they had in the police station this giant light, and they shined this light on me and asked me all these questions, and I was very nervous. And he asked me all these to try to trick me and trap me. And he came to the conclusion that I was innocent. Just because my license plate fell there, I didn't do the deed, quote unquote. So he let me go, and he let me go because he saw that my story fit together. And he could believe me because of he saw the story fit together. God's word isn't a story, it's true, and it has internal evidence. It all fits together. It has integrity. And the greater the scrutiny of God's word, the more we see the perfection in it. It all fits together. We have some books, Jesus Christ, Our Promised Seed. You could track that promised seed throughout the word. Jesus Christ, Our Passover, the same thing. It has integrity. It has internal evidence. It fits together. Let's take a look now to begin in the Old Testament. But before we go there, let's look at a quote about the Old Testament. Let's look at Luke chapter 24 and in verse 27. Luke 24. Jesus Christ, the subject of the written word. Luke 24. Luke chapter 24 and in verse, Luke 24 and in verse 27. Now, Jesus Christ was talking to these two dudes walking on the road to Damascus, right? It was Emmaus. And he was walking, and this was in his resurrected body on Resurrection Sunday, actually. And he was talking to these guys. And watch this, verse 27. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning what?
Himself.
Wow, these two guys got a personal teaching from the Lord Jesus Christ about all the scriptures in the Old Testament concerning himself. Wow. If we had that teaching, that'd be much better than this teaching right now, I can tell you that. Hey, Bob, do we have that teaching in the bookstore? What an incredible teaching. Jesus Christ went through the Old Testament with these guys about the scriptures concerning himself. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3, please. Genesis chapter 3. So, in beginning then in the Old Testament, Genesis 3 is the first prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. It's right after the fall of man. And right after the fall, God gives mankind hope. Right after the fall of man, God gives mankind hope. Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 15, it says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman." The word enmity means a condition of separation or hostility. "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed," the seed of the devil, "and her seed." Women don't have seed, but this was a prophecy about the coming of the seed, and that is Jesus Christ, "and her seed, and it is gonna bruise your head, and you're only going to be able to bruise his heel. This was the first prophecy concerning the coming of the Redeemer. It sets the spiritual conflict between the seed of the adversary and the seed of the woman. Right after the fall of man, God gave mankind hope. God didn't leave mankind without hope. He gave them the hope of the coming of the Redeemer. Throughout the Old Testament, then, there were various prophecies about the coming of the seed. In Genesis, it was mentioned that from Abraham was going to come the seed. After that, it mentions in Genesis, from Isaac was going to come the seed. Later on, then, we know that the seed was going to come from David. So God showed the people in the Old Testament about the coming of the Messiah. God gave them hope. God gave them a vision of the coming of the Redeemer. Look at Galatians chapter 3. So in the Old Testament, there were prophecies, various types of prophecies, which foretold the coming of the Redeemer. You could track just the prophecies concerning the seed. But there were many prophecies in the Old Testament. Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 8. Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 8. It says, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through believing, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all the nations be what?" So God told Abraham some of the things that were going to happen in the future. And in thee all the nations were going to be blessed because from his seed was going to come the Redeemer. So in Abraham we're all blessed because the Redeemer was from his seed. God spoke to Abraham. He told Abraham some of the things that were going to happen in the future. It says in John chapter 8 that Abraham rejoiced to see Christ's day. Abraham believed to the coming of the Messiah, as well as many people in the Old Testament. Let's take a look at another prophecy. Look at Jeremiah chapter 23. So in the Old Testament, God spoke, he foretold, he gave people information to tell people. So the believer's line went through David, and Jesus Christ was born from the kingly line. According to the scripture, though, we are also in the seed of Abraham, or we have Abraham's seed by believing, and also we have the seed of Christ in us. In Jeremiah chapter 23 is another example of an Old Testament prophecy which foretold the coming of the Messiah. Jeremiah 23 and in verse 5. Jeremiah 23. God tried so much in different ways to be able to show people about what was going to come. Jeremiah 23 and in verse 5. It says, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. The word branch is the word zemach, and it means a branch, or an offshoot, an offspring. So we could translate it this offspring. A righteous offspring and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the land. This was a prophecy about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was an offspring and he was going to be a king. Now this word zemach, there's five different prophecies in the Old Testament in different books, two in Jeremiah and two in Zechariah and one in Isaiah. And there's five of these prophecies, and two of them refer to the coming of an offspring who is going to be a king. There's another one that refers to a coming of this offspring who is going to be a man. There's another one that refers to this coming of the offspring that was going to be a servant. And there's another one in the Old Testament in Isaiah that says this offspring was going to be of the Lord. So we have five prophecies, and two are a king, one is a servant, one is a man, and one is of the Lord. This offspring was going to come in the future. When we read the book of Matthew very closely, we see that Matthew shows Jesus Christ as the king. When we look at the book of Mark, we see Mark shows Jesus Christ as a servant. When we look at the book of Luke, we see that Luke shows Jesus Christ or emphasizes him as a man. When we see John, the Gospel of John, we see that this offspring or the Gospel of John is shown as the Son of God or of the Lord. Look at how beautifully God's word fits together. Prophecies in the Old Testament about he was going to be a king, a man, a servant, or of the Lord, and they correspond to the Gospels. Look at how beautiful God's word fits together. So in the Old Testament, there's many more prophecies concerning the coming of the Redeemer. Many aspects of his life were foretold, including his birthplace, his return from Egypt as a child, his ministry as a prophet and a priest, his rejection, his suffering, his death, even his resurrection, and other things talked about in the book of Revelation. Please go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. So prophecies in the Old Testament in many of these books foretold the coming of the Redeemer so the children of Israel could believe. Yet also in God's word in the Old Testament, there were numerous passages that foreshadowed the coming of the Messiah. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 1. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. It says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For the law, having a what? A shadow of good things." There's a couple of you guys in here from the great state of Pennsylvania. Is that true? Where are you guys? Put your hands in there. Do I see them? All right, the great state of Pennsylvania. You know, in the dead of wintertime, many eyes throughout the United States turn to the great state of Pennsylvania, and they look upon Punxsutawney Phil on Groundhog Day. And the big question is Punxsutawney Phil gonna see his shadow? Now, when you look at a shadow of the groundhog, is that shadow really the groundhog? No, it is only a shadow. It's a resemblance. It's kind of an example, but it's not the real thing. The things in the Old Testament, in the law and other things, pointed the way to the coming of the Messiah. And then they were shadows of something that was going to happen in the future, who was Jesus Christ. So the law and other things in the law pointed the way to the coming of the Redeemer. Let's take a look at Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3. For example, in the Old Testament, they had sacrifices, didn't they? The ultimate sacrifice of all time is who? Jesus Christ, right? In the Old Testament, they had a high priest. They had priests. In the book of Hebrews, Jesus Christ is called what? High priest. And he's a priest after the order of Melchizedek. In the Old Testament, they had feasts. The feast pointed the way to the coming of the Messiah. In Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 21. Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 21. It says, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily the righteousness should have been given by the law. They were to keep the law in the Old Testament, but the law was limited and could not justify all things. It couldn't give life. It covered sins, but it didn't cleanse them. It was based on the old covenant and carried out by imperfect priests doing imperfect sacrifices, which had to be repeated over and over again. By the law was the knowledge of sin, and man was to realize in doing the law that there was a better way to life, and that was believing to the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. So throughout the Old Testament, the law pointed the way. The scriptures then pointed the way to the coming of the Redeemer. They had sacrifices, they had priests, they had all these things, and it pointed the way. So in carrying out the law, they were to do it, but they were to do it believing to the coming of the Messiah. Let's take a look at the Gospels, John chapter 1. The tabernacle, which we're going to see a little bit later, the structure of the tabernacle and the things that were inside the tabernacle pointed the way to the coming of the Messiah. John chapter 1, please. So Jesus Christ is the subject of the written word. In the Old Testament, there were prophecies that foretold the coming of the Messiah. There were things that they were to do in the law that foreshadowed the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 and verse, John chapter 1, verse 45. So in the Gospels then, Jesus Christ was personally present. John chapter 1 and in verse 45. It says, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of who? So they knew the Old Testament scriptures when they saw him because of they knew and believed the Old Testament scriptures. When they saw him, they recognized him as the Messiah. Many of them, when he was alive, recognized him and believed. And other people who did not believe the word of God when they saw Jesus Christ did not recognize him as the Messiah. So these people believed because they knew the scriptures of the Old Testament. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. So God in the Old Testament spoke by many different people at different times in many ways to try to communicate to people so people would understand the coming of the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and in verse 1 it says, God, who at sundry times could be translated at various stages or times or segments. God, who at sundry times in various stages and in diverse manners, in different manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. God tried many different times in many different ways by the prophets in the Old Testament, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds or the ages. God spoke to the children of Israel by the prophets in the Old Testament. In the Gospels, God spoke to the people through his Son. He was right there. He was right there. So throughout the ages then, God wanted people to believe about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 20, please. John 20. Jesus Christ, the subject of the written word, from Genesis 3:15 to Revelation 22:21, John chapter 20. John 20. Look at this. John 20 and in verse 31. Excuse me. John 20, 31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is a prophet. A nice guy. No. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Why was the Gospel of John written? So people could believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's Jesus Christ, the subject of the written word from Genesis 3:15 all the way to Revelation 22:21. Look at Isaiah, please, Isaiah 61. We're going to take a little look at the epistles, a very brief look, because there'll be other teachings along these lines. Isaiah 61. He's known throughout the word. Many different ways are listed here on this banner. In the Old Testament, they looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. In the Gospels, there he was. And in this administration, we have the Gospels, which are a record of his words and actions. In Isaiah 61, Isaiah 61 and in verse 1, Isaiah 61, verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives, and to the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God." In this one verse here, one way of looking at it, there's four different administrations. First of all, it's under the law in the Old Testament. So that's one administration. And then this prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 2 it says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable year of the Lord relates to his ministry on earth when he was here. So in the Old Testament, this was prophesied about him coming. The acceptable year of the Lord refers to his ministry in the Gospels. Then we see a comma here. See a comma in your Bible? What does the comma refer to? Right. It's the period of time between the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, which is right now. So the comma is this administration. It's not mentioned there. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, comma, the grace administration, and the day of vengeance of our God. And when is that? Right now? No. It's in the future. So this verse here, prophecy about the coming of the Messiah, then the acceptable year of the Lord, his ministry on earth. This comma doesn't mention anything about now, is the period right here, and then in the future, the day of vengeance of our God. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Let's see this briefly. Revelation chapter 1. The book of Revelation then. Revelation 1. You can see him throughout God's word. Revelation chapter 1 and in verse 1. Revelation 1 and in verse 1. It says, the revelation of who? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent his and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. In the Old Testament, they looked forward to his coming. In the Gospels, he was there. Now we look back to his accomplishments, and also we can see in this sixth administration, it's the revelation or appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the apocalypse. It's the appearing. He's written throughout all the Word. And even in the book of Revelation, it's the appearing or revelation of the Lord. And it's the day of vengeance of our God. So in review then, Jesus Christ is the subject of the written word. We've tracked this throughout God's word in the Bible. And we've seen that God has tried in many different ways with many different writers at many different times to be able to show people about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen a lot of different things. And there is internal evidence. It all fits together from Genesis 3:15 to Revelation 22:21. In the Old Testament, we saw prophecies that foretold his coming. We saw prophecy in Genesis 3:15 about the coming of the seed. Then we looked at another word, Zemach. And Zemach means branch, offshoot, sprout. And we saw five different prophecies about the coming of this offspring. And two of them were for a king. One of them was for a man. One of them was for a servant. And another one was for the Lord. Of the Lord. And these corresponded to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay? But something with that doesn't fit. Because there's four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. A servant and all those kind of things. But there was two prophecies I told you. We didn't look them up. That showed him as a king. Matthew shows him as a king. But there's two prophecies that show him as a king. And the answer to that and the reason why is in the book of Revelation, he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's going to knock some earballs together and he's going to shake some heads. So in the Old Testament then, prophecies foretold. There was things in the Old Testament that foreshadowed his coming. Like we looked in the Gospels, they were to believe him because he was right there. Now we look back at the coming of the Messiah. And then also we see in the book of Revelation, he's coming in the future. He's Jesus Christ, the subject of the written word from Genesis 3:15 all the way from to Revelation 22:21. And to close, look at Romans chapter 9, please. Romans 9. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9 and in verse 30. It says, "What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of believing. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness." Verse 32, "Wherefore, because they sought it not by believing, as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. Is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed." In the Old Testament, the children of Israel had the law, and they were to do the law, the things of the law, and looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. But by the law was the knowledge of sin. And instead of looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, believing Christ was going to come, as the law pointed out, many people gloried in their works. They gloried in their works and gloried in something which condemned their works, because by the law was the knowledge of sin. They were to look at the coming of the Messiah, but instead chose to glorify themselves in their own works. They stumbled at the stumbling stone, putting their works ahead of the believing of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they stumbled at the stumbling stone. In the Gospels, they stumbled at the stumbling stone. And you know what? People are still stumbling today, aren't they? Who is that Jesus Christ? Many people are still praying for the Messiah to come. Many people believe he's a prophet. Many people believe he's God. Many people believe a lot of things. Many people are still working for the things he worked for. Many people are still trying to pay for the things he paid for. They stumble at the stumbling stone, not believing and accepting his perfect work. You know, man's basic spiritual problem today and has always been not believing the integrity of God's word. You know, Jesus Christ is the subject of the written word from Genesis 3:15 to Revelation 22:21. Man's basic spiritual problem, and still is today and will always be, believing regarding the coming of the Messiah. You know, on a stone you can stumble on it or you can stand upon it. And here we are, we're born again of God's Spirit. We accept the accomplishments of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can stand upon his achievements, believing day in and day out what he has done. He is God's solution to man's plight. He is the Redeemer. He's our big brother. He's our returning Lord and Savior, and he is our hope. He is Jesus Christ, the subject of the written word. Father, thank you for your love and goodness. Thank you for how you laid out your wonderful plan to us and how we can see Christ in your word. And thank you for all the wonderful things you've done for us so we can understand your word in a much bigger way. Thank you for all these things and for a wonderful weekend for all of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Okay, thank you.